பூர்ணமத்பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓம் பத்ரம் கர்ணே விஷ்ணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யே மாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டு வாகும்சஸ்தனூபிஹி வ்யம்சேம தேவஹிதம் யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ விருத்தஸ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தே சாந்தே சாந்திஹி. ஸோ வி சா அப் டு தி ஃபோர்த் மந்த்ரா இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் ஆஃப் முண்டக உபனிஷத், வேர் வி லெஃப்ட் அட் அ பாயிண்ட் வேர் தி உபனிஷத் மென்ஷன்ட் அபவுட் டூ பிரான்ச்சஸ். ஒன் இஸ் பராவித்யா, அனதர் இஸ் அபராவித்யா. Now today, from the fifth mantra, it is going to start the definition of aparavidya first, and then we'll go to paravidya subsequently. So let us read the fifth mantra. Tatra para rigvedo yajurvedaha samavedo tarva vedaha siksha kalpo vyakaranam நிருப்தம் சந்தோ ஜோதிஷமிதி அத பராயயா ததக்ஷரமதிகம்யதே. So the Upanishad gives now a brief definition of first the Aparavidya, which will be elaborated in the next section. He is just giving only a brief introduction here. Tatra, tatra means among these two branches of science which we mentioned in the previous webinar, which are important for all spiritual seekers, aparavidya, which is the indirect means of liberation, consists of the following branches. What are those? Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda and Atharva Veda, all the four Vedas, especially the first part, the Veda Purva Bhaga, that we have to note. Veda Anta Bhaga will come under paravidya. So here we should write Rigveda Purva Bhaga, Yajurveda Purva Bhaga, Samaveda Purva Bhaga, Atharveda Purva Bhaga, and because all of them tell us what is the Pancha Maha Yajnas and how we should contribute to the setup. So the setup is divided into several concentric circles, as it were. For example, first, I have to contribute to myself, my own body, I should take care of. Therefore, you have to contribute to your own body. Then the next concentric circle is one's family. Then the concentric circle has to be extended to the society. Then it is to all the animals and plants. Then the widest concentric, biggest circle is the Pancha Maha Bhutani. Thus, the entire creation consists of five concentric layers. All of them are important for you. You benefit from all of them. So you have to contribute to all of them, and this is called Pancha Maha Yajna. Veda talks about several rituals. As we said earlier, we need not do in any ritualistic form also, but in one form or the other, I should ask, what did I contribute today? I have enjoyed so much. I have earned so much. What did I do? It's a constant question. In Shastra, there is a Subhashita which says, Pratyaham பிரத்யவேக்ஷேத நரச்சரிதமாத்மனா கிம்னு பசுபிஸ்துல்யம் கிம்னு சத்புருஷைரிதி. எவ்வரி டே ஐ ஷுட் இன்ட்ராஸ்பெக்ட் மை செல்ஃப் அண்ட் ஆஸ்க், டிட் ஐ லீட் அன் அனிமலிஸ்டிக் லைஃப் பசுபிஸ்துல்யம், ஆர் டிட் ஐ லீட் எ லைஃப் ஆஃப் அ சத்புருஷா ஹூ ஆல்வேஸ் கான்ட்ரிபியூட்ஸ் டு த சொசைட்டி. தர்ஃபார் ஆல் ஃபோர் வேத பூர்வபாக தே டாக் அபவுட் பஞ்ச மகாயஜ்ஞாஸ். For understanding the Veda, then you require several supportive auxiliary branches of science. They are called Veda Angas, the organs of the Vedas. Six of them are mentioned. And what are those? The first one is called the Siksha, how to chant the Veda. Because Vedic chanting or Veda Parayanam, that itself is considered to be spiritual sadhana. Veda Parayanam is only a symbol. It can be Gita Parayanam, it could be Vishnu Sahasranama Parayanam, Thiruppavai, Thirumbavai, Thiruvambavai. In our culture, the very recitation is a spiritual sadhana. Because every letter of those scriptures is a mantra. Mantra means what? Manana trayate iti mantraha. Gayatri means ghana trayate iti gayatri. The very recitation will purify the mind. Therefore, learn to chant them. That science of chanting or pronunciation is called siksha, sikshavalli. So, along with their swaras. So, siksha means science of pronunciation. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, first valli is sikshavalli. What are the various sub-branches of siksha, phonetics? That itself is a very big branch of science. Within that itself, there are several chapters. Sikshavalli tells that. Siksham vyakhya syamaha varnaswaraha matrabalam samasantanaha ityuktasi ikshadhyayaha. So, siksha is the science of recitation. And here it has got varna, the letter, swara, the intonation, matra, the duration of the you take to utter a vowel, and balam, the force of articulation, sama, the continuity, the uniformity, santana, the continuity, all of them. So they all come under the science of siksha. Then the next one is the kalpa, the science or method of performing any ritual or a puja or any of those. How to do a Shiva puja, Shiva Panchayadana puja, Navaratri puja, or a particular homa. The purpose. Purpose for all of them is for internal growth, for understanding, ultimately, Aham Brahma Asmi. Then the third one is Vyakarana, grammar, language study. Vedas happen to be in Sanskrit. So we have to understand the language. And then Niruktam. Niruktam is etymology or derivation of words. When there is confusion regarding meaning of a word, you have to go behind its derivation. When you study Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma, what is the meaning of the word Jnanam? We require lot of etymological analysis. And Vedic etymology is called Niruktam. Etymology means derivation of words. And Chandas, the Vedic meter, the meter in which each mantra is said. How many quarters are there in a mantra? And how many letters are there in each quarter? For example, just now today is Gayatri Japam. So in the Gayatri Mantra, it has got 24 letters and divided into 3 padas, Tripada Gayatri. So it's just an aside note because it is Gayatri Japam today. I just wanted to mention that. So the Chandas, they have actually 2 types of Gayatri, the Gayatri Chandas. One is called the General Gayatri Chandas, which has 24 letters. And the other one is called Nichrit Gayatri. Ekakshara Vihinatu Nichrit Gayatri Muchyate. That is because it has 1 letter less, it is called Nichrit Gayatri. So generally, in the general Gayatri mantra, each pada, I said it has 3 padas, 3 quarters, and each one contains 8 letters. Tatsa Viturvare Eniyam Bargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodaya Aate. So each pada has 8 letters. So 3 into 8 is 24 letters. Tripada. That is the meter rule. So you have to count the vowels only. And so Chaturvigamshat Aksharat Gayatri. But Nichrit Gayatri is the same Gayatri mantra only, but in the first quarter, Tatsavitur Vareniyam, that Vareniyam is chanted as Vareniyam Nya, is compound, it's a compound letter. Then the number of letters becomes 7 and not 8. So if you chant it as Vareniyam, then the Ni and Ya are separate. As 8 letters. So if you chant them together, then it becomes 23 letters only. So if it is 24, it is Gayatri meter. If it is 23, it is Nichrit Gayatri meter. So there are rules. When to chant Gayatri and when to chant Nichrit Gayatri. For example, in Gayatri Homa, Gayatri is to be chanted. In Sandhyamandana Karma, Nichrit Gayatri is chanted. Then that is, these are all various rules. And then there is Jyotisham. Jyotisham is astrology. It is like Panjangam, you know, so one has to know the Thiti, the Vara, Nakshatra, Yoga, Karana, all that. Because all these rituals, they are based on these parameters. That is why the first step in the morning in a traditional house is they will look at the Panjangam. All rituals are based on the coordinates of time and space. That is why in Sankalpa we say the entire cosmos, Bharatavarshe, Bharatakhande, Meroho, Dikshane, Parshve, all that thing. We give spatial location on the entire cosmos. Now only, you know, not only we give spatial location, we also refer to time-wise location also. Adhyabhramanaha dvidiye parade shvetavaraha kalpe vaivasvata manvantare. So whatever it is, kevalambi namasamvasare dakshinayane grishmaritam, you know, karkatakamase krishna pakshe prathamayam. Today is prathama tithi. Prathamayam titav bhoumavasra. Today is Tuesday. Yuktayam. So whatever nakshatra, all that thing. So the knowledge of Jyotisha is required. It is not predictive astrology we are talking about, but sufficient knowledge for doing the rituals at the appropriate time, what should be performed. All these they come under Veda Angas, the various organs of the Vedas. And all of them come under Aparavidya. So we should know they are all Aparavidya, useful for what? Pancha Mahayajnas and Ishvara Upasana. So the first portion of the four Vedas, they deal with the Karma and Upasana, known as Karma Kanda and Upasana Kanda. Kanda means a section. And the six Angas, the auxiliary branches, they are also required to be understood to understand Veda properly. Thus, Aparavidya is Veda Purva Bhaga dealing with Karma and Upasana. And more about Aparavidya, we will be studying later in Mundaka Upanishad. Now, the teacher comes to the definition of Paravidya in the next mantra, actually, in mantra 5, the last line. Atha Parayaya Tat Aksharam Adigamyate. Atha means now. Now, after Aparavidya, after discussing Aparavidya, he comes to the definition of Paravidya. What is Paravidya? That knowledge, Tad Aksharam Adigamyate, through which one recognizes the Aksharam, that which is eternal, that which is indestructible. What is eternal? We have seen that. Yeka Sara Nitya Satya Karanam. That's what we have seen in the last webinar. Therefore, Karanam alone is Aksharam. It is called Paravidya. The title for Karaneshwara is Aksharam in Mundaka Upanishad. We also gave this word in the last webinar, Karaneshwara. That is why in our tradition, when the child is introduced to education, they celebrate, you know, it as a very religious function. Entry into the field of education, which is unique to human beings only. It is called Akshara Abhyasa. It has double meaning actually. The first meaning of the word Aksharam is alphabetical letters. And what is the hope of the parent when he initiates the child into Aksharabhyasa? Through this Aksharabhyasa, the child hopefully will go to, at least after retirement perhaps, to the next Aksharabhyasa or Brahma Abhyasa. Aksharam is Brahma. Jnana Abhyasa. Paravidya Abhyasa. And now the question comes, what is the definition of Karaneshwara? We saw Karaneshwara yesterday, Karaneshwara. That is given in the next mantra, definition of God. Definition of Karaneshwara. We worship God, but we never ask what the definition of God is. This mantra gives that we will read. Shloka number 6. Yattad adreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tadapani padam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. So the moment we say God, we think of an extraordinary being with more number of heads, more hands, seated beyond the clouds, in some loka or the other, all kinds of things, that's what we imagine about God. Let me see, is there any, I see more activity going on, so I hope there is no issue with the transmission. Let me just look at it. No audio. Why there is no audio? Let me see. Yes, recording. Are you able to hear now? I don't know, because I have no audio. A lot of people have put, I can hear now. Somebody is telling I can hear now. But anyway, so that means some people are able to hear, some are not hearing. I don't know what to do. But I'm going to continue because recording will be available. People can see it later if they are not able to hear now. So the moment we say God, we think of an extraordinary being with more number of heads, hands and all that things seated beyond the clouds in some loka or the other. That's what we think. That picture of God is very much required during the Karma Yoga level and Upasana Yoga level. That is important. But we should remember, they are all representations for the sake of Puja, Upasana and all those. That is why Keno Upanishad, we just finished, it clearly says, whatever God you worship outside or inside, that finite God is not the real one. Nedam yaditam upasate. We already went through elaborate explanation of that particular statement. That is purely a provisional God. We survive the entire life with provisional God. We never come to the real one at all. The real God is actually defined here. And what is that? Yadu adreshyam. God in his real nature. It is not his or her in its, we can say it, Brahman. So, it's not available for sensory perception. Yet adreshyam. Dreshyam means sensory perception. Why? Because God has no form or color. Rupa abhavat adreshyam. Shankaracharya says, include all other sense organs also in that, not just only seeing. So, pancha indriya agocharam, beyond all sense organs, not available to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. So, it is ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, arasam, agandam. Therefore, adreshyam, not available for sensory perception. Pancha jnanendriya agocharam. And agrahyam, God in his real nature cannot be grasped or held by the hands. Touching the Lord, washing the Lord, feeding the feet of the Lord, doing abhishekam, they all cannot be done. Hand represents karmendriya, the fivefold organs of action. Vak, pani, pada, payu, upastha, all of them. God is panja karmendriya agocharam also. Then what is the gotram of the Lord? Gotra means the lineage based on the origin. We all have come from various rishis. We are Rishiputras, actually, as it were. That is why one introduces by saying Pravaram, Abhivadaya, Angirasa, Ambarisha, all those things, various Rishis. Pravaraha means the group of Rishis who are part of our lineage, the Rishi group. Here, what is the Gotram of God? We have celebrations of, you know, Kalyana Utsavam of Sita, Kalyanam. We are doing all that various Utsavas. There they talk about the Gotra, Pravara they chant. God in his real form does not have an origin. Karanasya, the Nityatvad, because it's eternal. Bhagavan has no gotram, so he's agotram. Karana rahitam ityartha. So sarva karanatvad, karana rahitam. He is the cause for all karana, so he is without any, he is the causeless cause. That is that Lord. Let me see whether there is any more. I can't hear you. Now, I don't know, are people hearing me now? No sound, various, but no audio. Why there is no audio? I checked audio, it says okay. Let me see audio. Let me go to audio again. Microphone and speakers, they say sound check. Sound check seems to be okay. They seem to be in my thing. I don't have any particular sound check, is fine. Sound check seems to be fine. I don't know why. Speakers are like this. I don't know what is that. I don't know. Are you able to hear now? I don't know what is happening. But at least I think it is in my setting. It seems to be fine. But now is the audio okay now? Somebody can say I did something. But can't hear, no speech heard. So many people are saying no speech heard. That means I don't know. Now it has come. We are not able to hear you. Can see and hear. Now somebody is writing they can see and hear also. I don't know. So that means I'm getting all mixed things. I will continue. Because people now, some people have told that can see and hear also. So I don't know what is the problem. But in any case, I'm going to continue so that we can have the recording at least. So there is no gotram. And avarnam. Avarnam, there is a popular meaning of varnam, that is the brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra. In Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna said, chatur vanyam varnyam maya srishtam. I created all the four varnas. So we discreetly actually inquire with what varnam somebody belongs to, because we don't want to, you know, marry in different varnas. And with regard to Bhagavan, he is varna atitaha. He is beyond all varnas. But Shankaracharya does not take that meaning. He gives another meaning. Varna means the attributes or guna. Because anything we describe is only through its attributes. We describe a person by height, by complexion and all that. So various other attributes also you talk about. Therefore, the varnana anena iti varna. So that through which you describe something. Varnanam. Varnanam means the description of a person. So the described features are called varna or guna. And avarnam means nirgunam. So Bhagavan cannot be described through various attributes because in his real nature transcends all the attributes. He is Avarnam. Then Achakshu Shrotram, another description, without any Chakshuhu. Chakshuhu means eyes and Shrotram ears. Bhagavan does not have eyes and ears. Eyes and ears are Jnanendriyas. That means what? Bhagavan does not have any Indriyas at all. That means he does not have a body also. He is unembodied, is Bhagavan. All descriptions are meant for Karma Yoga and Upasana only. With that only we have to increase the bhakti and purify the mind. But once we come to Jnana Yoga, we have to go to the real one. And what is the real one? Achakshu Shrotram. That means Jnanendriya Rahitam. Similarly, Tat Apani Padam. Pani means hands and Padam is legs. Represents Karmendriyas. Therefore, Apani Padam means all the Karmendriyas also are not there. In short, Ashariram. That means is the God does not have a body. And if Bhagavan has a body, Bhagavan also will be subject to what? Date of birth and date of death. So Nityam, he is eternal. So Yeka Sara Nitya Satyam. And there is another word also, Vibhuti, that we will see later. Then we now go to the next word, Sarvagatam. He is all pervading. We do not say Bhagavan is in Vaikuntham, but we say Bhagavan is in Vaikuntham also. He is in Kailasam also. He is omnipresent. And here and now, Nitya means what? Now, Sarvagatam, that means everywhere. He is here and now. How far you should travel to reach Bhagavan? There are so many stories. Bhakta, you know, he will die and then a flame will come out and it will travel through the streets and go to the local temple and will merge with the Lord there. They are all symbolic. You should remember, no travel is involved in reaching the Lord. Shukla Gati, we already spoke about all the Shukla Gati, Krishna Gati. There is no travel at all. You reach Bhagavan by knowing that Bhagavan is never away from me. Reaching is knowing only. Brahma Vida Apnoti Param. What is knowing? That Bhagavan is never away from me. Karanam is never away from Karyam, the cause. Gold is never away from the ring. Bhagavan is never away from me and the world. These are all corollaries. So Sarvagatam. Sarvagatam means he is omnipresent. And Sushukshmam, extremely subtle to grasp. Why? Because it's not available for sense organs. That is why they talk about Pancha Bhuta Dhyana, the Dhyanam, you know, as a rehearsal for Jnana Yoga. In Chandogya Upanishad, 7th chapter, this is called Bhuma Vidya. 14 preparatory meditations are given there. So actually, you know, the Sanat Kumara, the Guru, he is teaching the disciple Narada. And first the 14 preparatory upasanas are given. In them, Pancha Bhuta Upasanas are prescribed. They are Bhuloka, the Bhumi Upasana. At least that is easy, because Bhumi is visible. Then we go to Jala Upasana. That is also easy. Agni Upasana, okay. Vayu Upasana, you can only feel Vayu. You cannot see Vayu. Then Akasha Upasana, that will make the mind subtler and subtler. So the one is, when a person is ready for all that, then he is ready for Mundaka Upanishad. We all assume that we are all ready for that already. So susukshmam, subtler than even Akasha. And tad avyayam, it is it's not subject to any degeneration. We know that what is degeneration. Gradually, you know, we are not able to sit down, for example, knee pain, that pain, you know, eyes are not clear. So degeneration and degenerative diseases, they are all called apakshiyaha. Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. These are called the sixfold modifications. They are all care of tattvabodha. So Ishvara does not have apakshiyam, degeneration. Why? There is no generation at all. Only when there is some generation, degeneration can be there. Then comes two important definitions, which are the foundations for the entire creation. It is the yoni. In simple Sanskrit, Jagat Karanam Ishvara. He is the cause for the entire Jagat. And when we talk about cause, Karanam, the cause also is twofold causes. One is the intelligent cause, and that is, for example, the goldsmith, without whom the ornaments cannot come into existence. So he is a Chetana Karanam. And we require the second Karanam, that is the material cause, the raw material, gold. Thus, Chetana and Achetana are intelligent and material cause. Both are important. Now, Bhagavan is which cause of the creation now? Now, the Upanishad says, Bhagavan is both the intelligent cause as well as the material cause of the creation, because before the universe, or even before space, time, all of them came. How many things could be there? Bhagavan is ekam only one. Since there is no second thing other than Bhagavan, he has to function both as the intelligent cause and the material cause. But here the Upanishad is highlighting the material cause only. Yonim. Yonim means Bhagavan is the material cause of the creation, source. Intelligence cause is called Nimitta Karanam and material cause is called Upadana Karanam. All these names are familiar to you. So very, very important message of the Upanishad. Bhagavan is both Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam. Actually, Dayana Swamiji nicely says, Bhagavan is the maker and the material. Therefore, Bhuta Yonihi means Jagat Karanam. That is one definition. And the next important description of Bhagavan is Vibhutihi. This word we skipped at that time. Now I am coming to that word. So in all the Sahasranamas or Ashtotra Archanas and all, it is used. Prabhave Namaha, Vibhave Namaha, Vishnu Sahasranamam. So one is for the Nimitta Karanam and another is for the Upadana Karanam. Prabhucha, Vibhucha. Vibhu means Vividham Bhavati Iti Vibhu. The one which appears as many. And this title can be given only for the source, Karanam, not to Karyam. That too for Upadana Karanam only. Why? When you come to Vedanta, the thinking activity has to get reactivated in Vedanta. In Puranic stories, we do not have to think. When you think, you will have more problems only. Actually, the Puranic story should be heard and enjoyed as Bhagavan's glory. That is why when children start asking questions, parents have problems. Purana stories have to be heard. Bhagavan's glory has to be understood. Thereafter, do not probe into the story. But once you come to Upanishad, we have to reverse that. We have to start thinking. What is the thinking? Why do we say Karanam is Vibhuho? The word Vibhuho means what? That which appears as many. Vividham Bhavati. Upadana Karanam. Gold always appears as what? Many ornaments. Vividham. Chain Rupena. Bangle Rupena. Hand ring Rupena. Ear ring Rupena. Nose ring Rupena. Therefore, one gold manifests, it appears as manifold products. Vivida karya rupena ekam karanam bhavati. Similarly, one Lord alone, akasha rupena, vayu rupena, agni rupena, jala rupena, prithvi rupena, 14 lokas rupena. So, and also you rupena, me rupena, in the form of all of us, every one of us. So, Purusha Evedagam Sarvam Yadbhutam Yachabhyam. Purusha Suktam is a very beautiful definition of Ishvara. And so is Rudram also. Therefore, Bhagavan is called Vibhu. Very profound. So, one who is in the form of everything. So, Bhuta Yonim Vibham. Even though Bhagavan is extremely subtle, the duplicate Bhagavan is called His Maya, His Vesha. He is available for Darshanam. Maya or Vesha form of Lord available for Darshanam. Original Bhagavan, who can understand? The Upanishad says, Dhiraha, only those who have prepared their mind through Pancha Bhuta Upasana, those who can grasp extremely abstract, subtle truth, those Dhiraha, actually in Tattvabodha language, the Dhiraha means Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikarinaha, the qualified people, Dhiraha. Paripashyanti, they see Bhagavan, see again within courts. And where do they see Bhagavan? Paripashyanti. They appreciate Bhagavan everywhere. Just as we appreciate gold in all the ornaments, Jnani appreciates Bhagavan in the entire creation. Paritaha. Paritaha means everywhere. All the Narasimha Avatara, Hiranyakashipu story, they are all to say Bhagavan is everywhere. Paripashyanti Dhiraha. Shloka 7. Yatorna nabhi srijate grinnate cha. Yata prithivyam voshadayas sambhavanti, yata satap purushat keshalomani, tataksharat sambhavati ha vishvam. So in the previous mantra, God has been defined as Jagat Karanam Ishwaraha, cause of the entire universe, including time and space, very important. So maya kalpita desha kala karanat vaichitriya titrikritam, in the cause of everything. That is why we are not able, Dakshinamurti Sotra, again. That is why we are not able to say where Bhagavan is. To say where Bhagavan is, we need what? We need space. But Bhagavan existed even before space arrived. So how can you locate the space free of God? So, Jagat Karanam Ishwaraha. Now to assimilate this message, that Bhagavan is Karanam, the entire cosmos is only a Karyam, a product. Three examples are given by the Upanishad. to convey certain messages through each example. The first example is the spider creating the spider silk. You know, the spider, the web, that material that is called spider silk. The web produced by the spider is called spider silk. Spider is the karanam. The silk is the karyam, the product. This is example one. And the second example is land or earth and various plants or vegetation growing on the earth. Varieties of plants and products. Earth is karanam, so prithivi and oshadayaha. And the third example is the body of any living being and the hair that is the product of the body. What is the proof? It is growing. Every time you cut it, it comes back. Each example is to highlight one particular aspect that we have to understand. That aspect alone we have to understand and throw away the rest of the example. Do not extend the example to other things and get confused. Now, first example is spider and silk. This is to convey the message that the spider is both the intelligent cause and the material cause of the silk. It's a very rare example. Normally, intelligent and material causes are different. When you take, for example, an ornament, the goldsmith is the intelligent cause and gold is the material cause. So, upadana nimitta karana yoho bedaha vartate, always difference. Intelligent material causes are different. But Veda says that is only a general rule and every general rule has an exception. Spider is one exception. It produces the silk and the raw material also comes out of itself. This spider example is for what? Bhagavan is for both the intelligent cause as well as the raw material of which the world has come. Intelligent and material cause. Both are one only. And in the spider silk, there is another beauty also. Upanishad says, suppose for example, you push a moving spider. It falls from the ceiling. But it never falls down. You wonder where it is. It is hanging in Trishanku Swarga. It is hanging in the middle. The spider comes down, but it does not fall. It is in the middle of the room. You can see it dangling. Then you wonder how it is suspended. If you really observe, you can see that the spider's silk is connecting the spider to the ceiling. Suppose you touch the spider gently. What does it do? It will go back to the ceiling itself. When it goes back to the ceiling, what happens to the silk? You do not find the silk anywhere. The silk has disappeared. Disappeared where? Back into the spider. That's what it did. It goes to the spider. So spider is the srishti, sthiti, laya, upadana karanam as well as the nimitta karanam of the silk. Similarly, Bhagavan is Srishti Sthiti Laya Upadana Karanam as well as Nimitta Karana of the universe. And the Sanskrit word for it is what? Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. We have used these terminologies freely earlier. So Abhinna means identical. Nimittam means intelligent. Upadana means material cause. So this is message number one through the spider example. And what is the second example? From one earth, Prithivi, all varieties of plants originate. Therefore, eka karanate aneka vidha karyam. So, normally human beings can produce, for example, only what type of children? Only human children they can produce. That means what? One cause, normally it's in a general case. One cause produces an effect belonging to the same species only. But out of one Ishvara, we get all types of species. There are human beings, plants, animals, so many types. Therefore, yatha prithivyam, out of one earth, oshadayaha, varieties of plants are born. Similarly, out of one Ishvara, all species of living beings are born. This is example two. Then the third example is, yata sataha purushat keshalomani. From one sentient body, different organs grow. And many parts of the body are chetanam, sentient. While other things are achetanam also. So, chetana karanate or one achetana shariram that produces chetana avayavam also. As well as insentient part also. What is the insentient part? You can definitely say two. One is the hair and the other one is the nail. Hair and nail are insentient. What is the proof for that? We happily cut them. No problem. And when you cut the hair, there is no pain because it is jada vastu. Similarly, nail also. In the same way, out of one Chetana Ishvara, the Chetana Jivas are also born and Achetana Prapancha also is born. In other words, Chetanam can be the cause for Achetanam also. This is a very, very important message, because the scientists are thinking that the world has evolved out of matter only. According to them, matter is the cause of the universe. Not only scientists, all the other systems of philosophies, they are called, you know, Achetana Karanavadaha. That's all those things are called. Advaitam or Vedanta is the only unique one which says world has not evolved out of matter, but it has come out of Chetana Ishvara. If someone asks, is it possible? What does Vedanta say? Yes. Just as nail comes out of Chetana Jiva, and that is what is said here. Ataha sata purushaha. Purushata, sataha means living. Sentient living being. Tataha. Tantaha is actually here for, you know, Panchami Vibhakti. So, takaranta pullingaha tat shabdaha. Adjective to purushata. So, from a sentient living being, kesha lomani. Kesha means hair on the head. They are distinguishing now. The kesha, the hair in the head is called the kesha. And loma is the hair in other parts of the body. So, achetanam, hair is born. Tata, in the same way, from one Ishvara, the entire Chetana, Achetana, Prapancha has come. Sambhavati, Iha, Vishwam, the entire universe. Let me again go and do a sanity check whether the thing is audible or not. Let me quickly check again. Again, no audio is there. Couldn't access from my, I don't know why. Unable to hear. I don't know why there is an audio problem. I don't know how to deal with this, because in my system it seems to be fine. That is going on also. And when I do the audio check, microphone is fine. Computer audio only I'm using. Right. That's fine. Speakers. That's also fine. That's fine. I don't know why I'm not. I have problems. I have no clue. Can see and hear now. I don't know. It's going on back and forth. I don't know why. What is the issue here? No audio at all. I don't know what can be done. Anyway. Now we can hear you, somebody says now. Okay, all right. Anyway, whichever it is, so I'm going to still continue. I just only wanted to check in between whether something is happening. Sloka number 8. Tapasa chiyate brahma tatonam abhijayate annat prano manas satyam loka karma suchamritam. This is the 8th mantra of the first time section. So the stages of the creation they are talking about here. The entire creation does not come in one shot. Just as a full-fledged tree does not appear in one shot. First, the seed remains dormant. And when you prepare the ground, you pour water, etc., the seed gets ready for sprouting. And before the actual sprouting, the seed bloats. That is called chayanam. So that bloating condition is seed condition only. But the difference is what? Now it is ready for sprouting. Thereafter, the sprout comes, and gradually it becomes plant, and then a tree, flowers, fruits, bitter as well as sweet fruits also. Thus, all these stages, they come. Ultimately, karma, punyam, papam, all those things come. From punyam, all happiness comes. And from papam, terrible miseries also can come. So, for all these things, what is the cause? Eka karana ishvaraha. That is what is said here. So, tapasa chiyate brahma. Similarly, Ishvara also, during pralayam stage, there is no plan for creation. It is long before evolution. Ishvara also is like seed in pralaya avastha. And just before creation, Ishvara gets ready for this creation. And what is his readiness? He calls it the visualization of the creation, as it were. Just as a person, before creating something, he makes a plan for the creation. Similarly, all karmas get ready. And that modification in the Maya part of Ishvara is called bloating, as it were. As a seed bloating, this is Maya part of it. So just as we have mind, for Ishvara, Maya is the mind as it were. This also we have seen earlier. So in our mind, we visualize our creation. In Maya also, visualization takes place as it were. It is called Ishvara Sankalpa. Therefore, it is called Tapasa. So through visualization, so Brahma Chiyate, Brahma here means Aksharam Brahma or Ishvara, expands, Chiyate as it were. And all this you should not take it literally actually. Actual expansion is not there, but ready for evolution is expansion. Even, you know, modern cosmology, they talk about similar things actually. Strange. They talk about sudden inflation, which inflation is different from the economic inflation, which is different from the football inflation. In cosmology, inflation, suddenly from the smallest point, the whole universe expands multifold. That expansion is faster than even the speed of light, so fast. Rarely it happens. There, they call it inflation. Here the Upanishad calls it Chayanam. That in short, Ishvara gets ready for projection of the world. And Tato Annam Abhijayate, Annam. Annam means the universe in causal state. That means the universe comes to the Karana Avastha, or ready for evolution. Here for Annam, you should not take the dictionary meaning of food. You should take the Vedantic meaning. It is called causal state. Just before evolution, Annam Abhijayate. Annat Pranaha, the life principle that evolves, which is called Hiranyagarbha Tattvam, Prana Tattvam in its totality, not individual prana, but the total prana that evolves. And Manaha, total, you know, knowledge or intelligence evolves before its, you know, multiplication into individual mind. So the Samashti, like, you know, we have a lump of, for example, wheat dough. Then you make smaller pieces, and then you make chapatis out of them. Similarly, here also, so many intermediaries are there. So total prana comes, total mind comes, which is called Hiranyagarbha. So total prana is called Sutra Atma, all technical names in Vedanta. Thereafter, Satyam. Satyam means these Panchabhutani. Sat. Sat means the visible elements. Yat means the invisible elements. So visible elements are Prithivi, Jalam, Agni. They are called Sat because they are all visible. Vayu, Akasha, they are called Yat because so there will be three visible Bhutani and two invisible Bhutani. So given this is given actually in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So this is called, you know, Murta Amurta Brahmanam. Satyam is equal to Panchabhutani. Here, there. So those Panchabhutas, they have got two states, the subtler state and the gross state. First is the Sukshma Avastha, subtler state. Thereafter, by Panchikaranam, they come to Stula Avastha. Panchikaranam, you know, again, Tattvabodha language, all of them. So please, often don't refer to Tattvabodha lectures so that it will be easier for you to understand. Again and again, I request the serious Upanishadic students to go through Tattvabodha. We have analyzed the creation step by step there. And from the Panchabhutas, lokas arise, all the lokas. What lokas? The 14 realms of experience. Nowadays, actually, in cosmology, they talk about parallel universes. They mention how many universes are theoretically possible. We cannot reach those lokas. They say something like, you know, 10 to the power of 500 or something like that. That is one followed by 500 zeros. It's some huge number. So many parallel universes are possible. A living being in one universe does not have access to the other universe. Their lokas will be theirs, our lokas will be ours. Similarly, Shastra talks about the 14 lokas, which are all, you know, types of living beings are possible, all of them. And loka, chaturdasha bhuvanani, 14 of them. And 40 lokas, out of them is one loka called bhuloka, which is our residence. In bhuloka also, varieties of living beings are there. Among them is the roof and crown of the entire creation. Namely, the human being, considered superior because of three factors. Number one, we have got a free will, expressible through the human body. And then we have got an intellect to gain knowledge. And three, we have the organs of speech to share knowledge. We will never find a buffalo teacher teaching buffalo students. Not possible. Our mouth is so evolved that we are able to express almost everything. So even Brahma Vidya we are able to somehow transfer. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ascharyavad Paschit Kaschadenam, Ascharyavad Vadati Tatayiva Chanyaha. That the subtlest topic we can coin two words, technical words, new words, we can communicate. Thus, free will plus buddhi plus walk, these three make the human being the greatest creation. And once we have got all of them, naturally, what is the next one? Karmani, good and bad actions, constructive and destructive actions. Animals do proper actions because animals are governed by the law of nature only. Therefore, they do not destroy anything. That is why in a forest, as long as animals are there, harmony will be maintained. When will that harmony get destroyed? The moment the human being enters, the harmony goes away. So also ocean, when we enter, harmony is gone. Animals, on the other hand, they live a natural, dharmic life, programmed by the Lord. They do not have the free will to violate dharma. But human beings have a free will, so he can live according to dharma also and violating dharma also. That is, human beings also, they produce punyam and papam. Animals do not produce punyam and papam. For exhausting punya papam, human janma is not required. It's not only required. For exhausting punya papam, animal janma also one can exhaust punya papam. But for producing punya papam, one requires a manushya janma. Therefore, karmani, punya papam, they become part of this universe. And once punyam and papa karmas are there, then amritam. Amritam means karma palam cha. All punyam and papam will have potential palam of sukham and dukham in dormant condition. How long it will remain? Amritam, which will eternally remain. You can never escape the karma palam. Here the word amritam, we have to carefully note, it means karma palam. Therefore, if a person does akramam, for example, suppose a person does papam, and when he is about to be caught, let us say he commits suicide, thinking that he can escape the papam. Shastram says, you can cheat the local court, all right, but you can never cheat Bhagavan's court. One will have to pay the price in the next janma. Death is not the end of an individual. Therefore, karma palam is called what? Amritam, eternal. How long? Until you experience the palam, it will be there. All these came from where? That is most important. All came out of one Karana Ishwara. Shloka 9. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit, yasya jnanamayam tapaha, tasmade tat brahma nama, rupamannam cha jayate. So the creation is once again presented, giving the various stages. The universe, you know, it reinforces, the Upanishad actually here, it reinforces the message, Ishvara is Karanam. Everything without exception is Karyam. Ishvara is described as Sarvajnaha and Sarvavid. Because of the general rule, what? That the one who wants to create something must have knowledge of that thing. Not only the knowledge, but the skill to create also. Jnanam and Shakti, both are required. For example, a carpenter should have the knowledge of the furniture and also the skill to produce it. He cannot produce ornaments out of gold, a carpenter. Why? Because he doesn't have the knowledge. So every creator has only the knowledge of that particular field. If Ishvara is the creator of the entire universe, his knowledge must be what? Jna means endowed with knowledge. Ishvara is the karta of what? The entire creation. Therefore, Ishvara is sarvasya karta or sarvajnaha. That is why we say all knowledge in the form of possibilities are always there. They always existed. Scientists do not produce any new knowledge. E equals mc square. This possibility of knowledge was already there or not? The possibility was there. Einstein discovered it. What is that place where it exists at? The locus is called the total mind or Ishvara. Therefore, Ishvara is Sarvajnaha. And this total knowledge also we divide into two parts. One is Paravidya, another is Aparavidya. Paravidya is Karana Jnanam and Aparavidya is Karya Jnanam. I am just only restating whatever we saw earlier. The Karyam of products. So, in Karana Jnanam, how many branches are possible? Karanam is only one. Karana Jnanam is only ekam. But when you talk about Karya Jnanam, the Karyam of the universe, how many branches of sciences are there? One or two? when we are in the 5th or the 6th grade, so many sciences we study, some math, some chemistry, etc. And as we go to higher and higher, what happens? We are not able to manage all of them. We say physics, chemistry, math, some group, first group, second group, something else. And we do not know economics, botany, zoology. Thereafter, we specialize in physics only, let us say. Then in physics also, by the time you go to PhD, you know more and more of less and less. And less and less of more and more, whichever. That means you clearly know how many things you are ignorant of, how many things you don't know. That means what? With regard to apara vidya branches, they are so many. So no one can know all branches of apara vidya. But in para vidya, you can have total knowledge. Karanam is only ekam. So with respect to para vidya, Ishvara is sarvajnaha. With respect to apara vidya also, Ishvara is omniscient. Therefore, Ishvara is given two titles, sarvajnaha from the standpoint of karanajnanam and sarvavid from the standpoint of aparavidya or karyajnanam. But what about human beings? They can know the karanam by studying, for example, Mundaka Upanishad. We can gain the paravidya or karanam. And from the standpoint of karanajnanam, we can become sarvajnaha. Because knowing karanam is knowing the truth behind everything. So we can become sarvajna from the standpoint of karana jnana. But we cannot become sarvavit. Ishvara is called sarvajnaha and sarvavit, the knower of everything from the standpoint of karanam and karyam. For liberation, what do you require? Karana jnanam or karya jnanam? Suppose you require all the karya jnanam for liberation, the case will become really hopeless. But thank God, you need not become sarvavit at all, because that is not required for liberation. But you should become sarvajnaha. That means what? The knower of the truth behind karanam, or the truth behind everything. If you get that knowledge, you will get liberation. Therefore, it is a good news. You need not become sarvavidhe. You have to become only sarvajnaha. So, yaha sarvajnaha sarvavid ishvaraha. Lord who is omniscient with respect to paravidya and aparavidya, yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Visualize the entire creation before its production, which is called Ishvara's tapas. That is austerity, as it were. Like a person, for example, does research for producing something. Similarly, Ishvara also performed tapas for producing the creation. And when you say tapas, what is the meaning of tapas? Jnanamayam tapaha, visualizing the entire creation. And why do we use the word visualization? To say that creation is not a random process, because everything happens according to what? The law of karma. All branches of science are nothing but what? Understanding the law behind everything. In physics, the physicists discover what are the laws governing the particular area. Everything happens according to some law only. Nothing is by accident. Everything is an incident only. No accidents are there in creation. By definition, what is accident? Accident is an incident whose cause we do not know. But if you analyze, it is an incident only. That is why medical science is expanding. And why this particular disease comes? You know, they call it epistemology or whatever. They say, what is the cause of the creation? The creation is an orderly happening. Bhagavan visualizes the laws of the creation for the world. When we talk about the laws, the modern scientists study only the physical laws. But our Shastra talks about another law also, which scientists do not study. And what is that law? The moral laws. These are also important when you study the laws of the world. The moral laws are called the law of karma, called Punyam and Papam. They also must be considered when the universe is created. When Punyams are there, a wonderful body comes. If Papam is there, a terrible body comes. Diseases, all of them. Actually, Swamiji generally gives another example. A person was walking on the road near the footpath. At the edge of the footpath, he was walking, and suddenly he felt one hand from behind pushing him down away. And this person was shocked. But before he could know what was happening, he had fallen down. He got some minor injuries. And this person was happy or unhappy then? So with anger, he looks at the person behind. But suddenly what he sees a huge water lorry. You know, in India, in Madras particularly, it's very common. Yamadharma Raja in the form of a water lorry, he comes rushing by the side, very close by. Then what is his attitude? Suddenly changes from anger, it becomes one of gratitude. Because the intent of the pusher was to help prevent a major accident. Superficially seeing, the pushing action produced injury or karma produced injury. This is what the eyes see. Suppose somebody asks, is this injury due to punya karma or papa karma? Under what category you will put it? If you look at it purely from science or material angle, an action has taken place and injury also has resulted. So it is bad. But we do not see the motive behind. The motive which is not visible. However, in Shastra, the motive or the moral attitude, etc., that also decides whether a karma is good or bad. So law of karma, it includes the motive behind a person's action. And such invisible motive produces invisible punyam and invisible papam. And when Bhagavan creates this world, not only he has taken into account the physical laws, he has to take into account the moral laws also, the punya and papa. So visualization of all of them by Lord in his mind, that is namely Maya. Through Maya he visualizes. There are again all within quotations. Do not imagine Bhagavan has a body and he is sitting somewhere. Do not imagine all those things. You have to remember that before creation means there is no body, there is no chair, no hall, no books. All those things are not there. Even space is not there. Therefore, visualization means all of them are gradually evolving. That is called visualization. And the evolution is in keeping with the moral laws also. Behind all of them, consciousness is there or not. Consciousness or Chaitanyam is not taken into account by science. Because for science, consciousness is also one of the products. That too coming later. This is the difference between the evolution talked about by the scientist and the evolution talked about in the Shastras. Scientist thinks consciousness comes later as a product. Life comes later as a product. But when our Shastra talks about evolution, we include two things even at that time. That is number one, Chaitanyam or consciousness was there, which we call God or Ishvara. So consciousness is not a product. In creation, consciousness manifests. But before creation, Chaitanyam existed in unmanifest form. That Chaitanyam plus Maya is called Ishvara. So we should include consciousness. And the second is, we should also include the law of karma. Thus, in modern or scientific evolution, if we add consciousness and law of karma, Lord has come into the picture. Therefore, jnanamayam tapas. Tasmat, from that consciousness plus maya mixture called Ishvara, etat brahma. Brahma here means the total mind or Hiranyagarbha. Again, care of Tattvabodha. The total mind is equal to Hiranyagarbha. Then nama rupascha, very important. Every product is nothing but name and form only. No substance is created. Why? Even according to modern science, matter can never be created. Then where is the question of creating any substance? No substance is created. World is not a created substance. What then is the creation of the ornament? For example, it is only the goldsmith is only giving a shape to the existing gold. Therefore, creation is nothing but non-substantial, weightless nama-rupa alone. That means any product is weightless nama-rupa in the vision of Vedanta. Similarly, the whole creation, the whole world is only name and form, continuously changing. But there is no substance in the world. World is hollow, world is empty, as it were. When you hold on to the hollow world, you will have problems. Therefore, nama-rupa. For every form, there is a name given. For a particular form, bangle. For another form, chain. For another form, ring. And so on. So, mere nama rupas only. Thereafter, annancha jayate. Anna means what here? Food. So, which is another form, nama rupa. Food is also born. Otherwise, we cannot survive. Therefore, the whole creation is Ishvara plus Namarupa. God plus names and forms is equal to world. World is not a substance. God only is. This knowledge is called Paravidya. With this, the Acharya has presented Paravidya in essence. Hereafter, both Paravidya and Aparavidya will be expanded in the following sections. With this, the first, the Prathamakandaha. So, Prathamamundake, Prathamakandaha is the descendant. Now, we are going to the second section, second chapter. Let us read the first shloka. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmanika vayaha yanya pashyan tanitretayam bahuda santadani tanya charataniyatam satyakamaha yeshavapantaha sukritasya loke. I don't know how is the audio now. Let me quickly again make another sanity check. Sound is back on, so it is going off and going on. Anyway, I don't know what is, something jinxed is happening. Anyway, so in this second section, the Upanishad is introducing Aparavidya consisting of karma and upasana. Karmas are, you know, they are elaborated. Upasana is briefly mentioned. So the first portion of the Veda is called Karma Upasana Kanda. The final portion is called Jnana Kanda. So, in this section, we get a condensation of karma upasana. So, the Veda, of the Veda. So, therefore, what the teacher says now, mantreshu kavayaha karmani apashyanna. Mantreshu. Mantreshu here means karma kanda upasana kanda mantreshu. In the mantras are the karma kanda upasana kanda of the Vedas. Kavayaha karmani apashyanna. Kavayaha means the Vedic rishis, the seers. Karmani apashyanna, they prescribed, they presented. Varieties of karmas, religious, we call it religious ritualistic practices, you can abbreviate it as RRP, acronym, Swamiji puts that. So these are broadly divided into two types also. One is the first type is called general and regular religious practices, which are to be practiced by all people, like, you know, regular fitness exercise, for example. Regular fitness exercise is meant for everyone, you know, everybody has to be fit. So these general practices are good for all people. So, the individual, the family, the community, the society, the entire world, they are good. And they take into account the holistic well-being of the personality. Annamaya kosha, physical health, then mental health, intellectual health, spiritual health. In short, it is an all-round well-being that is taken into account by all general religious ritualistic practices. This alone we call it as religious lifestyle. It is very good. And many such practices are talked about. Technically, they are called Nitya Naimittika Karmani, otherwise called Vihita Karmani or Nishkama Karmani. They are not based on your choice. It is required for your well-being. These are choiceless, similar to this Nishkama Karmani. And the second one, the second group of religious ritualistic practices, they are special practices the Veda suggests for the fulfillment of various worldly desires. Like getting money, getting health, getting rain, getting children, all those. Because Veda acknowledges the worldly desires as legitimate desires. Veda encourages fulfillment of them. Veda also prescribes appropriate rituals to get them fulfilled. The Aruna Prashna mantra, you know, that beautiful mantra, it says, Pashukamas Chinvita. Here, Kama means a person with a desire. Vrishtikamas Chinvita, desire for rain. Amayavi chinvita, desire for good health. Ama means good health. Apo vaibeshajam, water therapy again. Apo vaibeshajam, sarvamayureti, prayer for long life. So, tejas kamo, yashas kamaha. Tejaha means attractive personality. Do you want? Name and fame do you want? Yashas. For everything there are rituals. They are called special religious ritualistic practices. Not regularly done, not prescribed for all of them also, but only for those people who are interested in, say, for example, Putra Kama Yajna, for begetting children. These are all optional, meant only for those who are interested. So, they are in general called Sakama Karmani. both Sakama Karmas and Nikam Nishkama Karmas are talked about, but Upanishad emphasizes Nishkama Karmani, general ritualistic practices like Pancha Mahayagyas, namely Deva Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Pitri Yajna, Manushi Yajna, and Bhuta Yajnas. They are considered to be extremely important from different standpoints. As an aparavidya or as a karma yoga, this is emphasized in the scriptures. So one benefit is the regular Panchamahayagnas that we perform will eliminate all purva papas or duritam, which are obstacles for our progress and success. So when we do sankalpa, we say mamopatha samastha durita kshayadvara Sri Parameshwara Prityartham or Srimannarayana Prityartham. So all these things. And daily pujas may I do for removing all the invisible obstacles. So papa nivritti is one benefit. And second benefit is all-round well-being, personal well-being, family well-being, social well-being, worldly well-being, they are all. So they are very good. And the third one is for the benefit for spiritual student. That is, all these religious practices will produce internal refinement called sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. It will make him an adhikari, eligible person for jnana yoga. Then the fourth benefit is, only when we perform these practices, we will know the limitation of worldly accomplishments. To come to spiritual path, the most important thing is we should know the hollowness or the limitation of all worldly material accomplishments. If we do not know their limitations, we will spend our entire life only in yearning and enjoying. Only two things. Yearn 5 days, enjoy 2 days. Again, repeat the same thing week after week. So, and this alone will be the materialistic life. We should know clearly the limitations of that. For that, the Pancha Mahayagnas are important. And finally, most importantly, if our special prayers for worldly success should be effective, if Sakama Karma must be effective, Veda says we must practice Nishkama Karma, Pancha Mahayagna. Without that, if one does a ritual, say for business success, then when there is failure in business, he will run to an astrologer. That is how astrologers are successful. Astrologer, he prescribes certain special pujas. Veda says, those special pujas will not work well because you are not following Vedic prescription of general religious ritualistic practices. If you do not practice Panchamaha Yajnam, whatever prayaschitta puja you do, those will not be successful. And also, any other Sakama Puja that you do will not be successful also. Therefore, even for the success of Sakama Karma, we require Nishkama Karma, namely Panchamahayagya. They are important. Therefore, Veda says, karmas like Panchamahayagya is extremely important. Therefore, he says, Kavayaha Karmani Apashyanna. Veda has described all the religious ritualistic practices. And how valid they are? The Upanishad gives a guarantee card. Tat, yetat, satyam. They are all valid and they all will benefit even from simple health point to a very important things. Now they talk about even statistically the health benefits of a religious life. They say religious life improves the general immunity of a person. All those things, that people say all that. Only thing is what? They do not know the mechanics. How it works, they don't know. Therefore, Veda gives a guarantee card. Tat yetat satyam. Religious life is valid. Yanya pashyanna. Whatever Panchamahayagnas they have prescribed, than yacharatha. May you practice them. Than yacharatha. May you practice them according to your capacity and resources. Niyatam, regularly, without exception. Satyakamaha is the name of a Vedic follower, Vedic believer, a Vaidika, for example. Here, he is called Satyakama. Literally, the word satyam means the result of religious life called karma phalam. Kama means desire. O religious people who are desirous of benefits of religious life, knowledge alone will not give you benefit. It must be followed by practice. Therefore, satya kama, those seekers of the benefit, may you practice them. Yesha yah panta sukritasya loke. This religious practice are the pantha, the means. Sukritasya loke, for all-round benefit, material prosperity, physical well-being, for all those. Sukritasya Loke. Lokahi means karmapala. Sukritam. A religious lifestyle. So now when we go to again the second line of this sloka. Tani Tretayam Bahuta Santatani. Tretayam. Actually Shankaracharya in his commentary, he gives two meanings. Treta here, it means Treta Yuga. In each Yuga, the Veda emphasizes a particular type of karma to suit the people of their particular Yuga. For example, Vedic rituals are predominant in Treta Yuga. As the Yuga changes, the type of karma also changes. The old karma will fall away and new karma will take that place. What are the karmas in each Yuga? There is a shloka for that. So, Dhyanat Krithe, Yajan Yajanehi Tretayam, Dwapare Archete, Yadapnoti Tadapnoti Kalau Sankirtya Keshava. So, Krithe means in Krita Yuga, Krithaya Satya Yuga, which is the first Yuga, then Dhyanam was predominant. People practiced mostly Manasa Karmani. Therefore, Dhyana, so all those things, the Dhyana Pradhana, the Krita Yuga was Dhyana Pradhana. Then Yajan Yajnehi Tretayam. In Treta Yuga, Yajnas, they were predominant. They were doing Yajnas, different types of Homakundas, different types of fires, Gargapatya Agni, Agamaniya Agni, Dakshina Agni. When a person gets married, the Upasana Agni is kindled and that fire is carefully preserved. Daily rituals are done. Until death, I offer varieties of things for Agni Bhagavan. And at the time of death, there is a final ritual. With gratitude, I offer this body to the Agni Bhagavan. Of course, I cannot do that myself. On behalf of me, someone else will do. So, cremation is a religious ritual called Antyeshti. That Aupasana Agni is to be maintained till the very end. Then Dwapare Archet. In Dwapara Yuga, fire rituals were slowly replaced by Ishwara Archana, Ashtotra Archana, Sahasranam Archana, Laksha Archana, Koti Archana. All those various pujas. So in which you invoke the Lord in a chitrapata, in a photo or in a murti, so the temples came into being, so you offer flowers, all that. And by the time Kali Yuga came, even that became difficult. Therefore, Shastra says, yada apnodi, tada apnodi. Whatever result one can get by all those above, one can now get by another method. That is Sankirtya Keshavam. No material or temple is involved. What do you do? What Shastra says is, have at least a photo of your Ishta Devata, do some Parayana or Nama Japa regularly. Gayam Gita Nama Sahasram, says Bhagavad Govindam. Some Shrotra Parayana at least. So, Dhyanam, Yajna, Archana. If you can do them, wonderful. If you cannot, do at least Nama Japa. Kali Yuga, Nama Japa is highly prescribed. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Tretayam, in Treta Yuga, Bahuda Santatani, widely prevalent. May you do any appropriate karma, the Yuga appropriate practice. Next shloka. Yadha lelayate herchihi samiddehavya vahane tadha jabagau antarena ahuti pratipadayeta. So the Upanishad itself mentions some of the Vedic rituals for our benefit. Among many Vedic rituals, one well-known ritual is called, you know, Agnihotra. People might have heard of that. Those people who do that are called Agnihotris. Later we forgot Agnihotram and said, at least Sandhyavandanam let us do. But now we are not able to even tell our children about Sandhyavandanam also. We condensed it further and said, at least chant Gayatri Mantra. So 108 times, whatever it is, at least 54 times, 32 times, 3 times, 2 times, 1 time at least. Now, every Avani Avitam, you know, Avani Avitam was yesterday, Shravani Purnima. At least, every Avani Avitam, at least you chant all that. Unfortunately, our life is dedicated to Artha and Kama, a materialistic life. No time for either karma or moksha. So, okay. So, what is the Agnihotra ritual? You have a fire, Agni Kunda, which is called Ahamani Agni, which is a rectangular, you know, sometimes it can be of other shape, semicircular shape also, rules are there. And in that Agni Kunda, then the Yajamana has to light the fire taken from the Garhapatni Agni, which is to be preserved at home from marriage. The Upasana Agni that he comes and preserves at home, that is a Garhapatni Agni, that he has to, from that a little portion is taken and then put in this Agamaniya Kunda. And from that he has to kindle fire in that Kundam for the sake of Agnihotra. So that is Agamaniyam. And after the ritual, the fire is again joined back to the Garhapatya Agni. He has to do that. That is called Garhapatya because it is the Grahapatihi, lord of the house. So it wards off all negative forces or vibrations from the family. It is like an invisible fencing, you know, we have invisible fencing. Now Garhapatya Agni is not there now today. So we are at least, you know, having the practice by lighting a lamp and all that thing that came into vogue. But now it is, even that, you know, that lamp is not there. We have electric lamp, turn on a switch. So in that Ahamani Agni, Samidde Havya Vahane, one has to kindle the fire well. When the flames are coming, Samidde Lelayate Archihe. So Archi means the flames are moving about in the Homakunda, so big flame. Ahutihim Pratipadayet, one has to offer oblations twice a day. So that is the Pratar Agnihotram and Sayam Agnihotram, both in the morning and evening. And where do you offer the oblations? Bhaga Antarena, in the middle of the Homakunda. So between the right and the left extremes. And Pratipadayet, may you offer. In short, may you have some time for daily puja or parayana. That is the message. We cannot be doing Agnihotra and all every day. But at least we can do some prayer and puja every day. Make it as a regular practice. Sloka 3. Yasya Agnihotram adarsham aupurnamasam achatur masyam anagrayanam atidirvarjitancham ahutam avaishwadevam avidhinahutam asaptaman tasya lokanhi nasti. This asaptaman tasya lokanhi nasti is compound word. They have split it now. So along with Agnihotra, Veda prescribed varieties of other rituals also. A group of Nitya Karmani. They are all enumerated here by the Upanishad. The names themselves are difficult to remember. One is Agnihotram, we just saw. Then Darsham. Darsham means a ritual done on Amavasya days only. And then Purnamasam, done around Purnamasa, that is the Purnami. Agnihotra is daily, Darsha and Purnamasa, they both are done monthly, twice. And then Darsha is once and Purnamasa once. And Chaturmasyam, done once in 4 months, different from the Chaturmasyam of the Sannyasis. This is a Vedic ritual, done thrice in a year, once in every 4 months. And then the next one is the Agrayanam, the harvest rituals. Whenever the harvest is done with the new harvested grain, a ritual has to be done. Almost all rituals will have dana as an integral part of the practice. We generally know only one thing. It is very, very natural because insecurity is one of the fundamental problems of samsara. So this insecurity is a spiritual problem actually. We don't think of that. But nobody knows it's a spiritual problem, insecurity. It has got only a spiritual solution that we do not realize really. So we think acquiring more possessions will remove insecurity. But Vedanta says any possession will not help remove the sense of insecurity. Na karmana, na prajaya, dhane, na tyage, na ike amartatva manasyo. Drop all such external dependences and learn to depend on yourself. But if one has to learn to depend on oneself, one requires spiritual knowledge. I have to practice some giving up at least, you know, through, you know, periyatyagam or sarvasanga parityagam. There are, even though those big tyagams I may not do, at least the unwanted things they can get, we can give away. We are keeping those things also. For example, the spring cleaning and garage cleaning, all those things come. At least give those things away. Therefore, in all rituals, one integral part is dhanam. That means what? Give to others. Rituals will thus help rehearse for sannyasa, that means renunciation of external dependence for one's security. So, all rituals are meaningful for dhanam. Therefore, agrayana. So, when we get a fresh harvest, we have to give others, you know, or share with others. And the next one is called atithi varjitam. Guests, they are not served. Never cook for the family only. A person who cooks for the family is a bigger sinner, according to Bhagavad Gita. So, bunjate te tvagam papam, ye pachanti atmakaranat. Those who cook only for their family and eat that, they are not consuming food, they are consuming papam. That's what Krishna says. Strong words. So, make annadanam an integral part of your life. Na annodaka samam danam. There is no equivalent of annadanam and jaladanam. They are all again part of Panchamahayagyas. Therefore, atithi, annadanam. If you cannot do yourself, may you at least donate for those people who are doing it. And the last one is Avaishwadeva, Bhutabali, food for animals and plants, they have to be given. Because in Panchamaha Yajnam, Bhuta Yajna is important, Vaishwadevam. All these are to be, you know, practiced regularly. Veda wants that if one does not practice, one will have spiritual sickness or spiritual papam. Spiritual papam means what? You will slip away from spiritual growth. And avidina hutam, done improperly, avidina, avidi properly, avidina, without following procedures. If a person violates all these rituals, the pratyavaya, that is the dosha, that will destroy several generations, according to the Vedas. So asaptamams stasya lokam, the verse up to and inclusive of the seven lokas, stasya, of the performer. Loka means the karma palam, refers to the karma palam, or next janma. According to which the dharma is going to be happening. It will destroy all of them. Therefore, at least to avoid the papam, one has to follow the pancha maha yajnas, and that is the message given here in this shloka. And we will continue maybe this next shloka, the next class. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna, Namaste Narayana.